Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-203-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. 603-283-6160 is the phone number.
I'm surprised we haven't had more calls.
Yeah, we didn't get any calls yesterday either, except for friggin' Skeeter, who I'm ignoring.
We might have someone calling in.
But yesterday we didn't get any calls either, so I don't know what's up with that. Maybe people are on vacations, you know, their kids are off from the college or something like that, and they're just not listening to Free Talk Live, or at least not wanting to call in right now. I don't know. I don't know why that does and doesn't happen. Sometimes you get a lot of calls. Even the days of the week don't seem to matter that much. I guess they say that Saturday is the biggest day for listeners and callers, but the other ones are just seem to be random to me. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Joa.
And we've been talking mostly about cultural issues tonight. We start off the show talking about this FBI agent who was carjacked in Capitol Hill. And you know one thing that's kind of funny about it? It's like, if a regular citizen gets carjacked, it's not going to get this NBC News.
Sure.
Right. It's like they wanted to make a big deal out of it because it was a poor FBI employee.
It's like when someone dies on the highway, it might make the news.
Mm-hmm.
But when a cop dies on the highway, all over the news.
Yeah, and then there's a memorial for him.
And, like, I wanted to bring this up tonight, actually. Mm-hmm. This is a great topic. I made a meme saying, if you think pulling people over is a good, you know, a good thing for society, please seek some help. You may be suicidal. Because the worst part of a cop's job, the most dangerous part of a job, his job, or her job, is to pull someone over. And to be standing outside the vehicle near flying vehicles that, you know, generally are in high-speed traffic areas anyways.
Several ton giant metal boxes.
Yeah, and apparently another cop yesterday in Massachusetts got killed by someone hit him.
And so this is like workman's comp, right? So like being a roofer is like very expensive work, workman's comp, because it's...
Oh, that's very weird. Are you guys hearing that? Yeah, I did hear
that little breaking
up. Mike was breaking up. It was weird because I muted mine to cough a little bit. Maybe that did it. Sorry.
So anyways, like roofing is really dangerous. So it's like every $100 in pay that you... as a roofing contractor, pay one of your employees, you have to pay in Massachusetts $25 towards workman's comp. That's not towards, like, other things, like, you know, taxes and payroll taxes and stuff. It's like, that's just workman's comp.
Right.
So when a police officer who is an employee of the state gets, if, like, the most dangerous part of his job is getting run over by a car or injured, and I've been broke down on the side of the road before.
It's dangerous. It's
very dangerous. I've worked construction on the side of the interstate. Done repairs on the side of the, you know, fast roads, driving farm equipment in Colorado, like down the interstate, driving like a corn chopper 16 miles an hour down the interstate, and you got semis ripping by you at 85 miles an hour. That's scary stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is a massive liability for the taxpayers. Like that poor guy that got killed, does he have a family? You know, he's
right.
Kids. I mean, that really sucks.
I don't know if the guy may have done it on purpose. He also killed two construction workers involved in this, too.
You think that he might have committed suicide?
And he also... No. The guy purposely ran into the cop. And then he like crashed because he crashed his vehicle. He stole a police cruiser and they finally caught him. But yeah, that's kind of a crazy unique story. I don't know what was up with that guy, but I mean,
but just in general, the traffic fatalities and in relation to police officers because they're constantly. Pulling people over, engaging in this, armed tax collection through, revenue collection through writing tickets, is a massive liability for the people. So I wonder in places like Vermont, for example, it's like super aggressive. But Vermont's not even there's very little traffic in Vermont. And like Massachusetts, I was in Massachusetts yesterday. Drove all over, was all over Massachusetts yesterday, gathering up cattle and stuff. And saw so many cops. I was like, man, this place is just.
Yeah, I see so many cops. I never get pulled over or anything, but
especially around
so
Christmas season,
there.
I find that they think there's parties going on everywhere and people are drinking and driving, which may be true, but it's just like it's so harassing. Like you guys have so many better things to be doing. And I get it. Drunk drivers can be a problem, but you're more likely ruining the person's life versus that person who's going to crash and ruin someone else's life. And that's a fact. The cops are not helping. They're causing more damage you could imagine. Yes, I know. They stop someone from driving drunk, right? But the idea is that that guy probably would have made it home. Just like 99% of the rest of them. Yeah. It's just that 1%, swerves and kills someone.
And the reason these cops are so aggressive about
writing tickets. I'm not saying drunk driving is good. Okay, I'm not saying that.
Especially in Massachusetts, they are literally trained in Massachusetts. It's like they're basically told, if you want a pension, you need to write tickets.
Yeah.
What's another thing that feels so, like you said, it feels so harassing when there's that many cops around? I hate that anytime you drive late at night and you're, one of the only cars on the road, it feels so nice and calm. There's no potential of just, somebody ramming into the back of your car. Oh, isn't that nice? But you're, the only one on the road with this cop driving by, and it feels like you're really honed in on. Mm-hmm. You gotta, you get this nervous wave. Because you're the only one on the road, and you see a cop drive by, you're like, oh. They wouldn't be there.
I generally don't anymore, just because of what I do. I don't get the adrenaline rush, I don't get scared.
I don't, get really scared, I just get they're really a dangerous criminal, zoned in on.
I only get that feeling if they catch me off guard, and I'm like, oh, I didn't see you there.
That's what happened last night.
Typically, I can see. I have good coptar, right? I can tell where they are and that sort of thing. And I know where they hide and all that. It's just, I got good feelings for it.
The other day, I went in, not the middle of the night, but right before 11 o'clock to Hannah Fred to go get ice cream. I just wanted ice cream and I was like, they're about to close. So when I was driving home, a cop pulled out of the Starbucks. Parking lot, actually. Maybe they were just sitting there hanging out. And it was
they checked the park there and stuff.
It was nice until I saw that. I was the only car on the road.
Right, right.
And then you feel they're watching.
People feel like crap. Oh my God, am I going to get pulled over? Is my night, my day, my month, my year is going to be ruined right now?
Your life, possibly.
Yeah, your life. For real. People think about that all the time. And it's just sad. We have that feared society of the people that were supposedly,
supposed to protect us.
And they're taking our money to help us. Yeah, right.
So, the cops have a financial incentive. Their pension fund relies on, them, writing these tickets, making sure that, for example, in Massachusetts, they were super aggressive about, I used to, when I was living in Massachusetts, I had New Hampshire license plates.
Right.
And they were just constantly, looking to, harass you over that because they are, it is part of their training. It is part of the criminal justice. I don't know if it's a criminal justice or if it's a state. It was always seemed like it was more like state cops and local cops, or if it was part of the state trooper training. And I have a good friend who's a retired state trooper now, and the dude's so cool since he retired. he was always cool with me, because he was kind of my buddy, but now he's extra cool. Anyways, and I talked. He's probably listening to the show right now, because he does listen. And anyways, he's like, yeah. So he's sort of kind of got me on about. I'm like, why are they so aggressive about out of state plates and stuff like the state troopers? And he's like, oh, because all the state troopers became registry cops. And when you're a registry cop, and Massachusetts has this thing called the Registry of Motor Vehicles. Some places got Department of Motor Vehicles, but Registry of Motor Vehicles is where you go. You got these career classic bureaucratic useless pile of crap parasites working behind a desk that are just to have no personality. They're they're just rotten to the core people. You know, they're there to make your life miserable, and, like, they get a power trip off it. They get a dopamine hit off of it. And, which is true, because I have another friend that worked in the registry of motor vehicles, and she was like, yes, that's exactly how the culture of those people are. They are not good.
Oh, for sure.
So, anyways, he was like, well, you know, we are told that our pension depends on people, like, registering their cars. And also our pension, like, if you don't write, you know, three times your salary in tickets per year, you're basically not going to have a pension to collect, or your pension is going to be weak. And I'm like, well, that's BS, because, you know, as long as there's you guys to point guns at the tax collectors, you know, there's going to be, you know, pensions.
They have to have some kind of incentive, if their incentive isn't just, you know, to do the right thing.
So Joa had brought up in the last segment how, like, there is this intentional incentive to break up the family unit, to break up the nuclear family.
Yeah.
And
this creates more criminals, in essence. You know, the kids are not raised by a dad, and they commit crimes, and that justifies the state and the police. So they want disrupted families. They want crime. They want, you know, disruption in that, you know, family norm.
I have the evidence of why there's what the incentive is. So the incentive comes out of Social Security Administration Title 4D, as in David. And four, you want to use a Roman numeral 4, IV, when you do the internet search for this. And you can read in IVD that there is a federal incentive to where 66% of the child support that is collected by family court is given directly to the state's judicial pension fund.
Go figure.
Whoa, so, that's so
And
dirty.
If you don't pay that, you go to jail. Do you hear that, single dads? Single dads without the kids.
So if you... there's a guy, his name is Jeff Younger. So if you internet search YouTube Jeff Younger, there's a few videos that come up. Jeff Younger and do Title 4D or Jeff Younger Child Support. He was on TimCast a while ago. In fact, I really like to talk to this guy because he's got some great stuff. And I've been learning a lot from watching his videos and reading about some of his things. And he actually ran for, I think, Congress, Jeff Younger for Congress in Texas, or maybe a state representative. I can't remember. But anyways, he's from Texas. And he talks about how in the Texas code that, and he has this right on a screen, and it's like, you know, Texas code 22.34, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if that's the numbers, but he talks about how this is the instructions for setting child support payments for the Texas family court. And the Texas family court is instructed to set child support payments or awards, actually, is I think how they award it. Child support awards based on the maximum state revenue under Title 4D. And this is, you know, where the judicial pension fund gets 66% of this. So we have a massive incentive of this stuff to happen. So I'm going to read you a thing here. J.R. Hull brought this to my attention. J.R. Hull is a state representative here in New Hampshire who is actually working on bringing a lawsuit against New Hampshire DCYF. He's the guy.
Because they went after him and his kids for using
very safe ivermectin. Nobel Prize winning ivermectin. Anyways, Granite State College, as part of a child welfare education partnership, offers a class titled DCYF Revenue Enhancement and RMS. This is available for social workers to maximize revenue for DCYF. This workshop, and I'm quoting this right now, I actually quoted most of this, this is available for social workers to maximize DCYF, is not a quote, that's my commentary. This workshop will provide critical information regarding the various federal funding sources and how to access these sources in order to provide services to children and families. Staff will learn about various federal funding sources, Title 4A, Title 4E, and Medicaid for both services and administration. Documentation requirements for accessing federal funds will be discussed. Now, upon further research, and what I've learned is that the social workers are also informed, trained, told, I don't know if it's through this program, but this is what a actual retired New Hampshire social worker explained to me, that you need to do all of this stuff because this is how you get paid. This is what makes, this is how you have a pension. They're also told that they must, you know, there must be like three to four people to replace them. So the bureaucracy,
so it's a Ponzi scheme,
to support the pyramid Ponzi scheme of their pension fund. Anyways, so the incentive to keep all the social workers in a job, all the lawyers in a job for these bureaucracies, the janitors, the companies that get the contracts to service, like, the buildings and, you know, all this stuff, the building contract, I mean, the construction companies, is to get this federal money. This is another reason why New Hampshire needs to dissolve the corporation calling itself State of New Hampshire, get rid of it, and repopulate and basically reanimate the New Hampshire state, the entity that's described in the New Hampshire Constitution, and get away from all of this federal money coming into New Hampshire, because it is corrupting New Hampshire. It's corrupting every state. It is corrupting the families. It is creating incentive to destroy families, to tear apart families. And all the evidence is in black and white. All we got to do is just look for it and talk about it. And Mike Gill, New Hampshire State of Corruption, or State of Corruption New Hampshire, I'm not exactly sure how his thing is, what his website is. We should get that. But Mike Gill, actually, he did a...
Is it G-I-L-L?
Yeah, he did a... testified before the Family Law Committee 5 years ago. I just watched his video a couple of times the other day.
And he's New Hampshire?
He's hiding from the cabal in Florida, and he is allegedly working with the Trump administration. So he's not in New Hampshire anymore. This guy claims they've tried to kill him. The Secretary of State offered him $50 million to shut up, sign non-disclosure. And he said, nope, I'm going to fight you guys in court. And he lost because he didn't realize that all the judges are compromised and corrupt.
I think, just to put a little background on who Mike Gill is, I believe he ran...
for governor?
Well, no. He the company that he runs is like the biggest
mortgage
lender...
In New Hampshire.
And he basically took no in the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it's because he took no risk loans. Like, he allowed the no risk loans. So, basically, as in, like, he's never lost on his loans. He won't take risky loans, right?
Okay.
He won't offer them. I think that's what the deal is, and that's why he was the most successful.
Wow. All I can find is a bunch of...
So, YouTube, State of Corruption NH.
That's his website?
Nope, this is his YouTube channel. It's called State of Corruption NH.
You can probably find it on there, but just like on Google searching him, I could not find a website. It was only stuff like this thing from the Telegraph talking crap about him. It says, like, years of publicly accusing people of criminal behavior and corruption caught up with Michael Gill.
The deep state hates him. The parasite class hates him.
I never heard of him.
So if you go internet...
Definitely watch his videos.
State of Corruption... Family Court Committee, and he taught. Maybe during the next break, I'll bring up a snippet of this, and we can play a little bit, because this is really good. Because, like, I'm actually going to be calling a committee to investigate family court over in New Hampshire over these this Title IV D money, which is like an insane amount of money coming out of the Social Security Administration, which is, you know, the Social Security Trust Fund is just being looted via this Title IV. So. The social workers at DCYF are incentivized. They're trained. They go to classes on how to extract this Title IV money, because it goes towards funding DCYF. It goes towards state pensions. It goes towards judicial pensions. So Title IV, there's A, B, C, D.
And you said it was like 60% of child support goes towards judicial pensions.
So what I understand about Title IV-D, and Mike Jeff Younger, like, really explains this, is that if a child support award is, let's say, given for $1,000, and let's say, like, a dad makes $3,000 every 2 weeks, he gets paid every 2 weeks, the family court says, all right, you got 28% or whatever the the number is. It's like, roughly, it's a third. So now you have to pay, $1,000 every paycheck for your child support. And then what happens is that 66% of that $1,000, which would be $660, and it's amazing they use this term, they use it 66%. I mean, because it's like, it's not amazing, it just makes perfect sense because these guys all worship Satan. They are an evil cabal.
Is it 66.6666 repeating?
No, it's just 66%. So, yeah, just
usually internet, that so, is because that's like yeah, right. the two thirds.
So anyways, what happens is the Social Security Administration gives this to the Judicial Pension Fund. So by default, everybody who participates in a Judicial Pension Fund, so this would be judges, this would be the prosecutors, this would be attorney generals, this would be secretaries in the prosecutor's office, this would, I mean, this would be like probably the janitor, all these guys. They are all compromised. There is a conflict of interest, and they are by definition 100% corrupt.
Yeah. And I just gotta say, I'm not surprised at all that Damian Fisher is the guy who wrote this like hit piece about this guy.
Yeah, so you know Mike Gill is good based on what Damian Fisher is saying about him because of what Damian Fisher has said about other people, right?
Right.
Yeah. So makes perfect sense. So, anyways, I'm actually going to be getting an affidavit from Mike Gill is my is my intent here because we need to fix this. And here's another reason that New Hampshire should be a destination for anyone who loves freedom. So in New Hampshire, like I said earlier, there is no legislative pension fund. The legislature is essentially a volunteer position. $100 a year stipend is nothing. And so you don't have legislators that are, like in Massachusetts, the legislature has a pension fund. So I'm sure that is
crazy.
Money.
I can't believe that. You run for office and you get a pension?
That is crazy.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, sure.
That's so wild.
I've never really paid attention to local government.
Well, if you're a judge, you get a pension. Mm-hmm. If you're in the executive branch, you get a pension. If you're a family court
in
judge, if you're a lawyer. All the states.
Yeah.
This is why it's so corrupt. This is why Child Protection Service Industrial Complex has been able to rape, kill, murder, lie, cheat, steal, do all this diabolic evil stuff, and it just keeps happening and happening and happening and happening and happening again and again and again and again, and they give out settlements, and the people they give settlements to are like, they can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they sign non-disclosure.
I was just telling the other host yesterday, I know this guy, he's a really nice guy, he fixes my dryer and washer when they break, and he was over yesterday, and he was telling me his situation that is, I can tell you off the air, it's really messed up. And whenever he goes to court, I'll ask him if I can go film it. But he's dealing with family court stuff right now, and he knows a girl who, she was telling his daughter she's getting beat by her dad, but she's like, don't tell anyone. I will lie and say he's not beating me because I do not want to go back to the PCYS group home that bad. She'd rather get beat by her dad than go to the group home. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
USA News Update. The Israeli Security Cabinet has approved an increase in supplies to prevent a humanitarian collapse in southern Gaza. Concurrently, Israel reports its forces have surrounded the residence of the top Hamas leader, presumed to be in hiding underground.
The off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot accused of trying to crash a plane in October has been released from custody. Joseph David Emerson's wife, Sarah Stretch, says he never intended to hurt anyone.
A hard situation for a lot of people, not just Joe, for the people that were on the airplane, for the pilots. For the flight attendant.
Emerson is being charged with 83 counts of recklessly endangering another person and one count of endangering an aircraft. According to the terms of the release, he will be allowed to return to his home in California while awaiting trial. That's the latest. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. There's only this last segment left if you want to get on the phone with us. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Joa.
And it does look like we have a caller, so I'm going to go see what is on their mind. Unscreened caller, what's on your mind?
My name is Mike Gill.
Really?
Frank asked me to call in.
Nice.
That's awesome. Mike, I've been looking to get a hold of you. I just left a comment on your family committee YouTube thing. I don't know how much of the show you've been listening to. I have caught DCYF, Family Court, the Superior Court, Circuit Court, prosecutors in a conspiracy to deprive me and my family of their rights. And I've been working on an affidavit with these guys to bring them. And we also did a David Jose-style affidavit process. And we have a committee to investigate DCYF happening. And it is the chair is of this committee is someone who is excellent.
And Mike, I've seen pretty much all of your videos. But I watched them like a couple of years ago or like a year ago. So it's exciting to have you on.
Yeah, I did quite a few in 20 as I was dealing with Flynn and those things.
Sure.
But they snatched up my videographer, the feds, and...
How so?
It's how they flip everybody. I mean, everything, sure. Every move that I'm making, the FBI's involved. The head of the deep state is the FBI.
Sure.
And the intelligence agency.
I'm not surprised.
What protects is what's at the top of the totem pole. That's why in our courts, the courts are rigged. They're all corrupt. I mean, that's what they control. That's why my position is that you don't beat them in court. And you see what's going on with Trump. He's not going to win in court.
Right.
I didn't win in court. It's their tool. What you got to do is go outside the box and you find their money. New Hampshire is ground zero of not just the country, the world. I mean, they moved $935 billion into New Hampshire. They could track from cartels and corrupt politicians to this country, not counting the domestic in the trillions. Why hasn't the people of New Hampshire demand to know those names?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Why do you think the cartels selling Auto Fair, Prospective Trust, Granite State Recovery, they're in the Pandora Papers. They're in those laundering networks.
Yeah.
We could end this in one swoop. And let's hope that's what's on the table with
Trump.
It
sounds like Jay has found some, like, followed the money in a little bit of the situation he's in with his wife, and they're going after his kids.
Who's this?
So I'm Jay Noon. I moved here for the Free State Project.
Okay, no, I got to say, are they going after your kids, Jay?
Well, not anymore. So I actually beat them in family court. What had happened is I live on Henniker. We actually have a police department that, like, the chief of police is, like, a good stand-up family man. And as you know, Mike, the family men are generally not corrupt because they have something, you know, they want a good place for their family. And so
any police officer in this state knows the criminality and the drug cartel. And if they're not standing up, I don't call them good. I call them complacent.
Well, I can tell you the Henniker chief of police stood up in this situation. So what had happened is, real quick, my wife had let our daughter, 2-year-old daughter, take a nap in a car while she ran into a TJ Maxx in Concord. And she comes out about 20 minutes later, and there's a cop out there. And actually, the reporting witness, the one who called this in, you know, her name, Donna Barnett, I don't know if you know who she is. She's a secretary in the Merrimack County Prosecutor's Office. And anyways, she so DCYF starts, like, you know, calling us. They want the cops didn't do anything. In fact, the police report the cop wrote basically says everything's good, everything's cool. You know, there was no harm, no injury.
Child's not in danger.
You have all this stuff. You're just peacefully napping in the car, climate control on. You know, middle of March. You know, children don't die of heat exhaustion in cars in New Hampshire. There's actually zero cases of it. And so anyways, the DCYF is, you know, harassing us. I'm like, I'm not contracting with you guys. I reject your offer. I sent them a fee schedule, sent them a cease and desist order, told them to leave me alone. I got the local chief of police coming to my house every day, 4 days in a row, looking for me. I was out working, out doing stuff. So I call the guy up. I'm like, hey,
why were they looking for you?
Because DCYF wanted to come inspect my house, interview my 2-year-old daughter alone, and us to provide medical records. So DCYF, Melissa Coombs, a social worker, lies in her affidavit. She gets an order from family court. You know that family court rubber stamps every single document that the social workers put in front of them.
Completely corrupt.
Yep, because every time they do an assessment, they get like a $6,000 payout from the federal government, which funds their operation. And then the judges
get the accountant of that. Who gets paid and won't get paid?
We're going to get the accounting of it. That is part of our
I know somebody who has that, but go ahead.
That's awesome. Thank you. So Jeff Younger is a guy I've been paying attention to a little bit out of Texas. He's sort of enlightened me a lot on this. I haven't met him yet. But so anyways, what happened is in their narrative, in the affidavit, the social worker writes, oh, so the chief of police, I say to him, yeah, me and the kids are about to, and the wife and the kids are going out to breakfast. Why don't we meet you down at the pancake house? Just come have breakfast with us. He says, thanks. So he comes in. We meet him there. We sit down. We have breakfast. We chat. And he shows me this order from family court. And he's like, and I'm flipping through it, and I get to paragraph 8. In paragraph 8, the social worker writes, we contacted Henniker Police Department. Henniker police informed us that they are familiar with the Noone family, as they are free stater, anti-government, live on a compound with lookouts, and we were advised by Henniker police that this situation is very dangerous and we should get an order from the family court. So I asked the chief of police, I'm like, what's up with this? And he's like, oh, I didn't do this. None of my guys did this. So he actually tells, after we have this meeting, the social workers, I've interviewed the children, I've talked to everybody, and he talked with us, he's a really nice guy. He's like, there's no neglect or abuse, the kids are like perfect for like, you know, what their age is and, you know, their development, and he's got kids himself. And multiple times, the chief of police, within the next month, came to my house and his officers several times, and they talked with me, and I'm a farmer, so I'm like, you know, cleaning out my stock trailer, I'm feeding cattle, we're feeding pigs, and I'm doing all this stuff with my kids. Chief of police comes there, he sees me doing this stuff, and he tells the social, I got all the emails between the chief of police and the social worker where the chief of police is like, you know, why are you guys harassing this guy, and you know, you're doing all this stuff, and these are good people, leave them alone, you know, all of this over a kid being left in you know, in a car for
a little bit. And you have that all documented, right?
I have everything documented.
Okay.
So what I did is what they did next, Ross McLeod, who is an attorney for DCYF, filed a petition or a contempt order. And a DCYF contempt order basically means nothing. It really has no force in
it. What were they saying? You weren't cooperating?
They were saying that I was, that they immediately needed to, let me back up a little bit. They were saying, yes, because I refused, I rejected their offer to contract. DCYF is just this municipal corporation that tries to get you to contract with them. And since I'm one of these people, I don't take any government benefits. I don't have a social security number. I don't participate in any of this garbage. They have no jurisdiction over me. I never waived any rights. So in this assessment order, they want to interview child, inspect the premises, interview child alone, inspect the premises. And we know when they interview a two-year-old alone, they'll come back and say, oh, you were doing this inappropriate thing. The kid said so.
Yep.
And
they could say the kid said it, or the kid could get confused,
right?
And not know what they're talking about.
I'm with you on that.
Yep. So anyways.
And listen, there's a want-to here, an assistant. And how are you going to trust that? So, in other words, they're looking like they're forcing the issue to the point where they're going to create it.
Yeah, also, yeah. They were trying so hard to do it.
Well,
this.
The real reason why they try to isolate and want to talk to the kid alone is because they want to get the kid alone, and then they can seize the kid.
Yeah.
So here's the other thing. The assessment order states a police officer, child protection social worker, a parole whatever officer, child service officer, shall inspect premises, interview child, blah, blah, blah. So I say to the Henniker chief of police, because my wife was like freaking out. I sent her far away. You know, my kids weren't with me for 2 weeks. That was like not good for my kids. You know, they need their dad. And so my family's away. I'm not working. I'm dealing with this crap. You know, it's costing me some serious aggravation. I got rid of a bunch of livestock. I just dumped them at market because I couldn't deal with them. It really screwed us up. So anyways, I say to the chief of police, I says, hey, this order says a police officer can do this assessment. Now, I trust this guy. He's a family man. And so I say to him, you can do this assessment. He says, Jay, that's great. I'm glad you want to resolve this. I'm like, listen, we're in the best interest. You know, these guys are psychopaths. They, like, murder people. You know, they send kids to known rapists and pedophiles.
You know what I would say to them? I said, listen, if they're concerned about your two-year-old, where were they when 1,000 children were beaten and raped in Sununu Detention Center?
Right, right. You're exactly right.
They're so concerned.
Yep.
We went and think about this. Those were children that was taken from parents, a lot of them.
Yeah.
So in other words, in this same system, and were abused their whole time in there.
Yes.
But, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyways, this order says a police officer can do this. So the chief police says, that's great. I will get back to you about doing the assessment. Now, meanwhile, he's told these guys that there's no abuse or neglect, and everything's, like, good. And
Have he got back to you yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this was happening. This was 2020. 2022 this was going on. This has been going on for a year and a half.
All right.
So he... So he 2 days later comes back. He goes, Jay, they told me I can't do the assessment. They said that I am not qualified to do the assessment. So, like, his lieutenant, one of his lieutenants is a woman that's married, you know, to the father of her children, you know, good family values. She actually trained to be a social worker. She was a social worker for a little while. She has all this victim abuse, child crimes training, blah, blah, blah. And they said that they don't have the credentials. They can't do it. And what I said to him was, I go, they don't want you doing it because what happens is they don't get the federal money if the police does the assessment. They only get the federal money.
Well, they may not get the results they're looking for either.
Correct.
So what I might have suggested, and maybe you did it already, again, I would have, is it possible to have the officer there with the worker?
So I didn't want the social worker there at all because I didn't want him getting the federal money. And the other thing, too, is I didn't see this particular document, but the way it was laid out to me is in order for them to do this assessment, I have to agree to it in writing. And basically, this document holds them harmless where I'm agreeing to their service.
You have a choice. Just say no.
So
it's easy as that.
So anyways, the social worker actually lied a second time. And then Ross McLeod, this dirtbag attorney, who I'm going to really try hard to make sure he can't work anymore, you know, because I want to put him in prison where he belongs. So anyways, Ross McLeod from Milford, New Hampshire, and he's raised a lot of hell there. He puts in a contempt order against me. And when Ross McLeod put in the same contempt order against J.R. Hull, who's a friend of mine, a state representative here, who they actually got an order.
I know J.R.
Yeah, okay, so I don't know if you know what happened with him with the ivermectin. So anyways, J.R. Hull told Ross McLeod, his lawyer told Ross McLeod in writing, in the family court thing, that he spent $50,000 on these freaking lawyers. The guy only made $38,000 a year. He had to spend $50,000 on lawyers for DCYF crap.
Wow.
So anyways, told him that there's a New Hampshire Supreme Court ruling, and you understand this, Mike, that you can only be in contempt if you were ordered to do something. Well, this assessment order doesn't order me or my wife to do anything. It orders a police officer or a social worker to do this assessment, not me. And this lawyer is aware of this because he was already shut down once. And family court is aware of this also because family court has been shut down. Aaron McIntyre is the judge in Hillsborough Family Court who just rubber stamps all these things that come through Hillsborough because, you know, she's part of the cabal. She's a beneficiary of the judicial pension fund. She gets this federal money. You know, these guys are all compromised by the judicial pension fund. I actually plan to have a meeting with the Merrimack County elected prosecutor about this malicious prosecution happening in his office right now. So
I think all state pensions should go away.
So
that's
that,
my opinion.
That being said, the chief of police did a motion to intervene in family court, and he went into family court, and they fought this motion to intervene left and right. He went into family court. He said, hey, you know, I've talked to the family. You know, they're good people. Actually, if you... I'll link it here on your Facebook page on your family court committee thing and my reading of the affidavit of the Henniker chief of police that was basically, or a narrative or whatever it was submitted with his family court motion to intervene, and he got a motion to vacate, so he got the whole family court vacated. The day the family court issue got vacated, they put a warrant out for my wife's arrest out of Concord, and a warrant for child endangerment. And then we go to this garbage pretend court called Circuit Court, and this judge, Guptill's his name, who is, he's just...
What's his name?
Guptill.
Guptill.
Okay, no.
He's really young. I've never seen such a young judge. He looks like he was like in his 30s.
So anyways, they deny all of our, you know, dismiss, objections. You know, I bring up that there's no victim, there's no injury. We get the cop on the stand, and the prosecutor was pretty slick. Like, I didn't know to like really subpoena all the witnesses myself, so the actual cop who wrote the warrant never even showed up to court that day. The cop who assisted the assisting cop showed up. So I asked this cop on the stand, and this whole court hearing and trial, bench trial, is all on Odyssey and YouTube and stuff, and I can put those links.
Look up Jane Noone. It's N-O-O-N-E.
So anyways, at the trial, I was my wife's attorney. In fact, I was her defense counsel, and I was able to question these cops. So at the trial, I asked the cop if my daughter was in any danger, and he said no. She wasn't, but my wife was charged with child endangerment. I also asked a cop on the stand. I said, does the New Hampshire RSAs, the statutory law, apply to you because you're standing on the soil, land of the soil, we call it New Hampshire? And he says, yes. And then I said, okay, what evidence do you rely on that the New Hampshire revised statutes annotated apply to someone because they're standing on a soil we call New Hampshire? And he says, I don't have that evidence. And because there is no such evidence. And they found my wife guilty. And then the sentence, get this, was no fine, no child classes. The prosecutor asked for a fine and child education classes or parenting classes. And it was 45 days in the House of Correction, suspended for 1 year. So I actually teach a homeschool curriculum called Man Camp because I need to man up all the boys so our future is bright and beautiful, and we have strong culture here in New Hampshire. That's what I came here for. So, you know, I teach kids farming and blacksmithing and welding and heavy equipment repair, all the skills I have. I'm teaching to all the kids. So so anyways, I don't want my wife having this conviction of child endangerment, so we appeal it. Now we're going to Superior Court, and it's the same garbage with Superior Court. The guy's name is Kissinger in Superior Court. I think it's John J. Kissinger Jr. And they're just, you know, just totally rubber stamping everything the prosecution says because, you know, there's a conflict of interest. They're beneficiaries in the same pension fund, you know, all this stuff. You know the whole deal, Mike. So anyways,
yeah.
We got a hearing, a final hearing before the trial on Monday. I'm going to introduce
this coming Monday.
Yep, this coming Monday. I'm going to at the Circuit Court in Superior Court on 5 Court Street there in Concord. The case will be Shallon Spaulding or State versus Shallon Spaulding. If anybody wants to come to that,
for the purpose of really just correcting the record, is that correct?
I'm trying to correct the record with these guys, but they're not listening to anything I got to say. You know,
are they still attempting to take the child at all?
No, they're not attempting to take the trial. They're just trying to convict my wife of child endangerment is what they're trying to do.
Okay. And it would be like, did you say, a year, 45 days?
The maximum sentence would be
45 with suspended or something?
That was the last sentence, but because it's a trial de novo and the maximum penalty is a year in prison and a $2,000 fine, you know, that could potentially happen. But my wife is like, she's never done anything wrong. You know, she's got like one speeding ticket.
Listen, being innocent has nothing to do with it.
Right.
That's true.
All right? I mean, and that's even with the letter of the law, and I know there's certain constitutional people, but listen, they cheat.
Yes.
It's corrupt.
Yes.
So, in other words, they're maneuvering. They control the judgments, and they control the appeal.
Right.
So what I would tell you is, by challenging this, so in other words, you wouldn't be in jeopardy to going to jail, but if you challenge it, you're in the jeopardy of going to jail for a year. Is that correct?
Basically, yep.
Then why aren't you chancing it? To correct the record? By a corrupt individual, knowing that you know it's a lie?
So we have appeals court. I set this all up for appeal. You know, we have a really bulletproof.
Yeah, but they own the appeals court, right?
Sure. Well, I'm going to bring up Monday in court the conflict of interest with the judicial pension fund, with how family court is a cash cow for the New Hampshire judicial pension fund.
You know something? We know that. And I'm telling you, I know about Title IV-D money.
Yep.
I mean, I had the federal investigator. I had the federal accountant on it. So
yep.
I know all about this,
yep.
But I also know that they control and they create the decision they want. We're not seeing Trump in court. I had 106 witnesses, 46 for the court, and that weren't allowed to bring them in.
So
what I would tell you is you have your child is safe. Do not take a chance of winding up in jail. And when you're in jail, what you understand is you're at their mercy there.
Sure.
There's no waste to run. So, in other words, you've got your child. Your child is safe.
Yep.
And if it's just like one of these things that could go away after that, do not risk going into that court. Because, listen, they make precedents intentionally. They send the message to the next person about challenging them.
Yeah, they try to make examples if anyone tries to take it harder and further. And then it's like anyone that ever would have challenged it, they're like looking at that and be like scared. We don't want to touch it.
What we have here in New Hampshire is essentially a citizen legislature. So because of the Free State Project, we have a whole bunch of people in the legislature now that are free staters. So I did an affidavit to Leah Cushman. Leah Cushman is on the Health and Humans Services Committee. So she has brought a committee to investigate DCYF specifically with my case. The next committee I'm going to is a judicial committee, and there is some
judicial committee.
Yeah, and
we what joke that is?
Well, we have
and how about this? The PCC, you didn't go after a lawyer, the Personal Conduct Committee, the worst of the worst of what controls it.
Yep.
I mean, that's how they did. There is no justice there. That's their protection. They keep judges. JCC, Judicial Conduct Committee, controls the judges with their licensing. The PCC, it's the lawyers. So when they say, why isn't anybody saying anything? Because they're controlled by the license, by the department. So if you're going there to find justice, you're making a horrific mistake.
I'm not going to the judges to find justice. I'm going to the legislature to find justice. And we have
really,
good people in the legislature.
Did they come up and help you?
Yes. The courtroom was packed. They actually couldn't fit any more people in the courtroom.
Multiple cameras.
What are they doing with, listen, their attendance is good and supportive. Are they bringing lawyers to it?
Cannot find lawyers, but that will do anything with this. But we have a very active legislature that understands what's going on. They want freedom.
Really, no free state lawyers would help you.
No. Nope.
Well, there aren't any free state lawyers.
All the lawyers are compromised.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah,
for instance, he was working with Aaron Day and O'Keefe.
Wait,
I know about Broderick.
Broderick?
I'll look into Broderick. Hey,
Broderick is a criminal, but they're all criminals. Broderick's a criminal, but he's a free stater, too.
Well, so, hey, Mike, my email is jay@jaynoone.com. That's jay@jaynoone.com.
Listen, I may not call people back because I don't recognize them, and people are looking for my numbers.
Do you want to stay on the line, and I can just get you guys
right now
connected after?
Yeah, hang on for a minute.
Yeah, hang on. I'm just going to put you on hold. It's been Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening, guys. A real different, real interesting episode. You never know who might call in. FreeTalkLive.com is where you can go for more. Peace.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.